Do you know how much cash back you're leaving on the table for settling for the wrong credit card? Imagine earning up to 5% cash back on your groceries for the next 30 years. Just think of all that cash back you can get on those groceries. NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today, so the future you will thank you for it. With NerdWallet, you won't regret missing out on rewards. NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. So what could future you do with more cashback? A getaway with the kids? A spa day for yourself? Whatever it is, make it happen with a smarter cashback credit card. And don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Paying for college shouldn't be the hardest part of higher education. Hi, it's Rena Ninen, co-host of the Ask Lisa podcast. I recently spoke with U.S. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona about FAFSA, the free application for student aid. Did you know you can apply for financial aid today and you'll get a response within 1 to 3 days? Check out our show notes to the link for the full interview on our Ask Lisa podcast YouTube channel. Don't forget to subscribe for the latest videos from Lisa and me. That's the Ask Lisa podcast YouTube channel. This is Ask Lisa, a podcast to help people understand the psychology of parenting now in the midst of a pandemic. Psychologist Dr. Lisa DeMore, author of 2 New York Times best-selling parenting books, takes your questions. And I'm co-host Rena Ninen, a journalist and mom of 2. Some of what we talk about comes from raising children ourselves. Most of the time, I'll be getting answers to your parenting questions. So send your questions to AskLisa at drlisademore.com. Episode 26, My Child is Turning into a Teenager. How do I handle it? I feel like everyone is so irritable. I know we're at various phases of this pandemic, but I'm at the incredibly irritable phase. And I feel like we all are in my household at this point.
You know, the phrase I have seen over and over again on social media and places is that sense of hitting a wall.
Yeah.
That people are just like, come on. Is this still going on?
I mean, I'm doing the chocolate, like you say, a little something to look forward to in the afternoon, as you recommended, planned a vacation, might get canceled if we're not vaccinated in the summer. But, you know, it makes me feel almost like right when I was becoming a teenager, just cranky, and I'm like, at 41, am I like regressing here?
have you become irritable and reactive like a young person?
Exactly. I know that feeling all too well. And so this letter in our email box really stood out to me. It says, Dear Lisa, love, love, love the podcast. You are doing a great service for parents. My daughter turned 13 in this COVID year, and it has been so hard. Please make an episode on how to handle 13 during COVID times and also how to help them deal with stress. Thanks so much. I just love this one.
I know. It's so, because I have to tell you, she speaks for so many. 13 is so hard. I actually have decided over the last couple of years, I think it may be the hardest age of adolescence, hands down.
Is it the hormones?
Yeah, it's probably the hormones. What we know when we look at the research, actually, is that emotionality peaks in 13. And it's probably the hormones driving that finding because, actually, we talked about this on the last podcast. Girls are on the early side of puberty. Boys are on the later side. Girls hitting it largely around 12. Boys hitting it largely around 14. You put that average together and you get some pretty emotional 13-year-olds. And yeah. So it's either the hormones or the neurological shifts of puberty where their emotion centers get superpowered and their ability to maintain perspective centers are comparatively weak. They could become very emotionally overwrought at 13 in a way that they did not at 10 and that they actually won't at 15, 16, 17.
Hmm. But I feel like there's nothing you can do to get it right at this age.
Well, this is true. Because in some ways, to me, the reason I'm like, okay, 13, I think 13 is really where so much of the action is with teenagers. It's a bit of a perfect storm. So one element you have is this brand new, the term we use in psychology is they're very emotionally labile, which is a term meaning that they are all over the map and everywhere they go on the map is hugely intense. So when they are upset, they are profoundly upset, like doubled over sobbing upset. When they're excited, they're really, really, really excited. You know, so it's a lot more fun when they're on the happy side of that emotional ability. So that is a neurological, biological thing that's happening, which weirds kids out too. And I think we need to acknowledge to them how strange it feels to have their emotions take on such force all at once. So you've got that storm coming. Then the other thing that contributes to it is at 13, the need to be separate, the need to be seen as one's own person takes on real power. Because if you think 13, it's eighth grade, right? You are like, I am done with being a kid. I am my own person now. And in that need to be separate, there is, in its first form, incredible irritation with anything your parents do.
But can I tell you, with a 10-year-old, I feel like it's already started.
Has it?
Totally. You know, you're so annoying, Mom. I hear that quite a bit in my home. I don't know if I'm just the special one.
It sometimes does feel like that, right? Like that somehow moms are more annoying. Dads, sometimes I feel like get a pass.
So what do you do that's so annoying, Rena?
You know, if I shut down Xbox or I say, listen, you didn't do your chores, you can't do this. When they don't follow through with their obligations, I, you know, stand firm on it and say, you've got to do this before you can do that. Or, you know, I keep nagging them is what they feel like it when I'm over and over again asking them to do something and they haven't done it. And that triggers them.
So you're annoying because you hold the line. One thing, this is how I annoy my family. I don't call it nagging. I say, oh, would you like a helpful reminder? Okay, which of course is incredibly annoying for me to do.
That's good.
It's pretty good. I'm giving you a helpful reminder. This is not me nagging. This is giving you a helpful reminder. So here's a question. Has it happened yet? And if it hasn't happened yet, it'll come down the pike any minute, where what's annoying about you is that way you breathe or how you chew. Have you hit that level of being annoying to your kids yet?
Not yet. No.
Okay. 13. And this is the part where parents are like, what is going on? Like, you don't like the way I use my turn signal? Right? Okay, so this is, so you're in JV annoyingness as a parent. You will hit varsity within the next 3 years. It's quite horrible, actually, as a parent.
I didn't realize there was a varsity team for annoying.
Oh, yeah. You'll be varsity annoying. Like, and I have moved through varsity annoying with my 17-year-old. I'm now back to just garden variety annoying. And I am getting ready to join the varsity team again as my own 10-year-old is going to come around the corner towards, you know, 13 any day. So here's actually, this is one of those moments where it probably does help to be a psychologist who's a parent. Because it is so painful with your 13-year-old when they're like, you're so annoying. Like, why are you wearing that? Like, you look like a dork. You know, like, I mean, that kind of stuff that they suddenly become very, it gets very personal, right? So what you're describing isn't yet very personal. Like, you're annoying because you hold the line.
Yeah.
13, it takes on this very personal, like, I don't like the way you live your life. You know, whether it's how you, you know, wear your glasses on the top of your head. I mean, like, whatever it is, it's like these dumb, petty things. And I remember hitting this and being like, really? Like, really? This is so, I'm so annoying to you just being like my own little self. And so what I went to, sometimes when you have to like think, okay, I'm going to intellectualize this to get through this as a mother. The term we use in psychology is the phase of separation, individuation. So becoming separate and becoming an individual. And what I started to realize in my own parenting is that anything I did that looked to my daughter or reminded my daughter of an aspect of her personality that she was wanting to have. So for us, it was the fact that I liked Beyonce, and I've liked Beyonce for a really long time. My 13-year-old daughter, my older daughter when she was 13, decided she liked Beyoncé and found it deeply annoying that I wanted to listen to Beyoncé too, because Beyoncé was hers. Okay, so anything I was doing that was like the vision of, you know, my kiddo at 13, well, that was off the table because it was hers. And then, because we were still so intertwined, I mean, you really are still quite close in a lot of ways, or at least involved in a lot of ways with your 13-year-old, anything that one does or that I did that was unlike the vision of herself that she had was also annoying. This is where, like, let's imagine, like, post-pandemic life. It's eighth grade back to school night, and your kid wants to talk with you about what you're going to wear, because what you're going to wear reflects on them, and they cannot tolerate if you look uncool. And so the sum total of this, Rena, I mean, get ready. Anything you do that is like how your kids see themselves is annoying. Anything you do that is unlike how your kid sees themselves is annoying. Everything you do is annoying.
So, you know, I don't want to play for this annoying junior varsity or varsity team. Like, how can you teach me how I can be supportive on the sidelines with never having to join this team? Or am I setting myself up by saying it's going to be impossible?
I love that you ask. I think what you just gave voice to is the secret fantasy that every parent of a 10 and under has, or 11 and under has, which is like, okay, I hear about those snarky teenagers and I hear how they treat their parents, but you and I, man, we're getting along great right now. You think I'm fun. I think you're fun. I think we're going to be okay. Like, we're never going into that area. Like, we'll just stay in this happy little space and you'll do adolescence without it. All right, Rena, it just doesn't work like that. It just doesn't work like that. And the things that really help, one is understanding developmentally what's at work, you know, why kids have to do it this way or why they are doing it this way. And another thing that really helps is not taking it personally. And that's hard because when they're going after, you know, dumb little personal things, it feels really personal.
Yeah.
And so then the challenge is to not take it personally.
Mm. It's so hard because you do take it personally, right? And I think about my relationship with my parents. Like, I want to be around. This past year has been so hard because I enjoy spending time with them, my in-laws as well. It's the same thing. And so I want my kid to want to be with me all the time. Yeah. And I just don't understand, like, surely, Lisa, there's got to be something I can do that will, you know, I can't accept it. And to hear you say you're not quite like the annoying that your son is talking about, it's going to get actually personal and then it's going to hurt.
It is. It is. So that's the bad news. Here's the good news. It tends to be pretty short-lived. And usually what gets kids through it is, by 14, they start to feel separate and individual, that they've done the separation individuation work. So, for instance, you know, especially when they get into high school, they often have their own interests. They're often able to develop things pretty significantly. So maybe you are not musical at all, but maybe your kid becomes musical. So now they have a thing that's just theirs. It has nothing to do with you. And then suddenly you become a lot more bearable because now they have separated. Now they have individuated. Now they are their own person. And so the really good news in this is that it doesn't last all that long, that it can often be a very spicy and very taxing year. It is typically followed by an easing. It is typically followed by kids finding us actually not so bad after all, or not feeling like our dorky shoes have anything to do with them, right? That's really where it shifts. And I think the other thing, though, that makes 13 so hard is, you know, suddenly your kid hits 13, they become highly emotional. They become unbelievably testy and snarky in ways that you just have not seen anything like it before. And a lot of parents, understandably, feel like 13 is the beginning of adolescence, right? It's the first age with a teen at the end. And parents who have been bracing themselves for adolescence are like, this is how we start? This is the starting gate? Like, what happens next? You know, and they imagine this accelerating course of emotionality and snarkiness. And so the really important news is to know, no, you come out of the gate really fast. And then it tends to down-regulate. They tend to be better at managing emotion. They tend to not find us so bothersome. And I just, sometimes I think about, like, if I could hire airplanes to fly over major American cities with banners behind them, you know, one banner would be, okay, guys, adolescence begins at 11. You know, and we've talked about that. They will close their doors. Yes. Don't wait till 13. They start at 11. And emotionality peaks at 13. And I wish, I guess this podcast is our airplane banner, right? These are the things I want parents to know.
That's so interesting. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on the Ask Lisa podcast. Stitch Fix sends style so good, you can feel it. They deliver all the confidence that comes from a truly amazing outfit without any of the work. You don't have to get into your car. You don't have to go through hangers and figure out what section to find what you're looking for. It's so simple. What my stylist does is they take my wardrobe to the next level. She shows me what works for me. She helps me discover new things that I like that I wouldn't have picked up if I was browsing online or even walking through a store. As the seasons change, you want different things. And when there are big events in your life that you want to dress up for, Stitch Fix has you covered. And I also love that I've got everyday staples from Stitch Fix that feel good on that I'm constantly reaching for in my wardrobe. Style that makes you feel as good as you look. You can get started today at stitchfix.com/AskLisa. That's stitchfix.com/AskLisa. stitchfix.com/AskLisa.
Hey, Ask Lisa listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. LolaVie is Jen's vegan and cruelty-free hair care line that is suitable for hair of all types and textures. And in fact, my whole family has converted over to using it. Me, my 13-year-old daughter, we're sending it to my kid at college, and my husband, who has graying hair that is not as soft as it used to be. What we love about LolaVie is that it leaves our hair so soft, and it also smells so good. Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair now at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use the code ASKLISA at checkout. That's 15% off your order at LOLAVIE.com with promo code ASKLISA. Please note that you can only use one promo code per order and discounts cannot be combined. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Your hair will thank you.
With Mother's Day coming up, I want to take a quick moment to appreciate not only the moms, but anyone who's taken on the role of caregiver. You do everything for everyone else. Now it's time to do something for you, starting with your skin. OneSkin has a simple, scientifically validated routine that keeps your skin looking and feeling younger. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's really the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that causes lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. I've been using their product for the past few months, and I'm hooked. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using the code ASKLISA at oneskin.co. That's 15% off of oneskin.co with the code ASKLISA. After you purchase, be sure to tell them that you heard about them from us. We hope you'll support the show and tell them we sent you. Welcome back to the Ask Lisa podcast. What can parents do? There's got to be something. Like, should we talk openly about this and let them know what they're going through? Is it even worth having that conversation? Have you found anything that really helps in the parent-child relationship at this stage?
The thing that helped, and this is personal, the thing that helped me was actually advice I got from a friend, a really good mom who I'm close with. And when we were in the height of this, I said to my then 13-year-old daughter, I was like, okay, you've got three options for how you can interact with me. You can be friendly, you can be polite, or you can tell me you need some space. Those are the only possibilities here. And that kept me in a better place when what I really wanted to do was to get really mad or really hurt or really reactive, which is not to say I never did, Rena. But when I pulled myself together, that was the fallback position that I learned from a friend, and it was a huge help.
Mm. You know, something you said once at a talk that you gave here in Connecticut that I went to that I used literally the next day was the glitter glass jar. My kids were like 6 and 7 at the time, and they were melting down, and I could not understand, and they could not understand. Can you explain that glitter glass jar? Because we made it. We did that project, actually.
I would love to, because honestly, that is probably the heart, the neurological heart of 13 is the glitter jar story. So here's the story, and it's a great story. So I used to travel and go places, and I was at this fantastic girls' school in Dallas. It's called Ursuline Dallas. And I was sitting around with the counselors, and we were talking about girls having meltdowns at school, which especially I think in all-girls environments, girls will have meltdowns at school. They'll just kind of lose it. And I say especially in all-girls environments because I think they may just feel more free or something to just be themselves. So I consult 2 days a week to a girls' school. These are, you know, fantastic team of women who work in a girls' school. Melting down's just part of what you do or what you take care of. And I was actually confessing my kind of helplessness in the face of these meltdowns at times. And one of the Dallas counselors says, "Oh, well, that's when I get out a glitter jar." And I thought, "Glitter jar?" And she said, "I'll go get you one." So she stands up to leave, and I'm sitting there thinking, okay, whatever is coming back with this woman, I know I already hate it. And I was like, I hate it. Okay, why did I hate it? One is, it felt like pop psychology to me. I was like, I don't know what she's coming back with, but it does not sound like, you know how what a snob I can be. It does not sound like the serious psychology that I was trained in. And the other thing, Rena, we could have an entire podcast about this. I hate glitter. Do you have glitter feelings as a mother?
It's so funny. I feel like, I know I'm passing judgment on gender here, but I feel like so many girls, like little girls, just love glitter. That's all they love. Even my son loves it too, you know, arts and crafts, but it gets everywhere. It's absolutely annoying.
It gets everywhere. And one mom said to me, "Oh yeah, glitter, it's the STD of craft supplies."
That's so well said.
That's exactly right. That's why I hate glitter. So I'm like, I hate glitter. So she comes back in. I'm trying to not look like the cynic that I am. And she has a jar. It's glass, clear glass. It's filled with water. And the lid is glued on. And at the bottom, there's like 2 tablespoons of sparkly purple glitter. And she sits down and she shakes it fiercely like a snow globe. And then she says, "When a girl comes into my office falling apart, I do this." You know, she shakes it. And then she puts this glitter jar down on the table in front of us, and it's swirling, like you can't even see through it at all. And then she says, I say to her, "Honey, this is your brain right now. So first, let's settle your glitter." And I'm looking at this, and I'm like, okay, this is a perfect model of the neurology of the adolescent brain, the 13-year-old brain in particular, and this woman is a full-on genius. Like, this is the smartest thing I have ever seen. So the deal here, it's the model of what we described at the beginning, which is in the course of adolescence, the brain remodels. It becomes more powerful, faster, quicker, and this process goes from back to front. Everything in the brain in terms of, you know, development goes from back to front. So the emotion centers are in the back of the brain. They're in this primitive region of the brain. They get upgraded first. The reasoning centers, the perspective maintaining centers, the frontal lobes, those are in the front of the brain. They get upgraded last. And so there is this horrible juncture, and I really think it centers right at 13, when their brains are super gawky. The emotion centers are super powered and really, you know, much more fast and powerful. And the ability to maintain perspective is just weak relative to that. So the way this looks in real life is that when your kid is calm, he or she can outreason you. And this is true. And when they become upset, the emotion centers are so powerful that they can just take down the whole system and take down the reasoning system. And then the way I have blown it for years and what I learned from this woman is I try to talk to a kid in that state, right? Like, what's going on? What'd you do wrong? You should calm down. Which I now realize in retrospect is the equivalent of shaking the glitter jar. Mm. So what she taught me is give them a chance to re-regulate. Give the brain a chance to come back into balance. And what is extraordinary, with or without showing a kid a glitter jar, what is extraordinary, if you just say, let's just take a minute, right? Or do you want to go for a walk? Or do you want some water? Just to give them a chance to come back into regulation, to let that glitter settle. When I have done that, one of two things always happens. Sometimes that solves the problem because the problem was that they became dysregulated. Mm-hmm. And then it's over. And there's nothing to be said. The kid's just like, okay, that was super weird. Thanks for writing it out with me. It's over.
Yeah.
And sometimes if there's something to be solved, well, now you have their frontal lobes back online. You've got a rational human being in front of you. You have an even shot of sorting it out.
Mm. I love that. And you know what it is I also love about your philosophy is explaining this to children. It makes them more aware of what's going on. So they kind of understand it. And that the glitter jar really helped. It helped diffuse tension because I would just say glitter jar and they got it. You know, they understood because we had talked about it.
I love that. I love that. And actually, I usually am not someone to say to teenagers, oh, well, it's your brain that's making you act like this or it's your hormones, because they usually find it pretty dismissive when adults say that.
Yeah.
But the exception actually is to inform a inform an adolescent about the neurological gawkiness, because my experience is that helps them to feel less out of control. It strikes them as very strange that they become so dysregulated. And so to say, look, here's the deal. You know, you're kind of in this awkward brain phrase. It's not entirely, you know, your fault. You can't really do anything about it. We'll just ride it out. Your brain will actually, you know, get better into balance. That is the rare time where I have found offering a neurological account of something to be really, really welcome by a teenager.
In the last few minutes here, Lisa, could you just sort of tell us the difference between boys and girls? What do we need to look out for? What are the age differences? I know you touched on it a little bit, but it might help some parents to, gender.
Let's assume it kind of centers on 13, you know, like if we look at the broad averages. But I think the gender piece plays out in a couple ways. We know that girls as a group are cultivated to be more verbal and to talk about feelings more than boys in our society. They're not born with that ability. We socialize it. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of parents of 13-year-old boys will talk instead about their boy becoming quite angry, sometimes physical or shutting down, whereas their daughter may become more expressively upset. So I think there's that. I also think that sometimes the separation individuation piece looks really different, daughters and sons. So I think that quality of sometimes when you're the mother of a 13-year-old girl, everything you do is annoying, but your husband somehow is off the hook. And I think it's sometimes that sense of like, well, the girl doesn't have to work so hard to be separate from him. She's already a girl and he's a boy. Like they're already separate. And I think the way this plays out in a lot of homes for the moms who figure this out is they start saying to their, like, you know, for presuming a heterosexual relationship, they start saying to their husband, you need to go tell her to clean her room. You need to go tell her because they know that the kid won't lose it in the same way.
Yep.
I think with boys, what's interesting is same deal. Like the need to be separate from mom is not as ripe for them because they're already separate. She's a girl, he's a boy. And I think what's interesting with boys is it can be a time where dads and boys can start to have new things they connect around that feel neutral. I mean, often sports, right? Watching sports or playing sports becomes a way that they can move into a new version of the boy that feels older and cool. But not charged in an uncomfortable way. So it can have this sort of different landscape based on gender. But the heart of it is They are emotional. They are trying to be separate. And parents are freaked out because it is a fast start.
It is. It is. But you know what? I feel so much better hearing this from you because it feels like it might potentially be manageable. That might be me being a naive mom with a 10 and 8-year-old.
It's going to be manageable, Rena. We'll get you through it.
You always do, Lisa. You always do. So I'm excited about the book giveaway for this week.
So, okay. So here's the thing about 13. It is followed by 14. And I have to tell you, 14 has always been one of my favorite ages. And the reason for this is that they keep a lot of the childlike stuff still. They're still kiddos in some ways. And then because of continuing neurological development, they become philosophers. They start to think in these really broad-minded and inventive ways. They can take perspective on things. They're incredible. And so 14, like parents just, if you got a 13-year-old or you're worried about your kid becoming a teenager, 14 is, oh, it's just beautiful. So the book that I am so excited to give away this week is a book called 14 Talks by Age 14. And it is from Michelle Eichard, who is one of the most thoughtful people out there about tweens and has just done incredible work over years. She wrote a book called Middle School Makeover. And this is her new book, and it is brand new. It actually doesn't publish until February 23rd, but we have an arrangement with her publisher to give 3 early copies away to some lucky winners. And it just walks parents through all sorts of talks about fairness, technology, all sorts of things.
It's great.
Big topics, little topics. And what I really like about this book is that it is totally realistic. It is not the fantasy conversation. It is the actual conversation. And it is scripts. It is brilliant. It is a huge contribution, and I am thrilled that parents everywhere will have access to it soon, and thrilled that we can give 3 parents an early look.
Well, I want a book. That is great. I'm going to have to buy one from myself, but I have to say, if you want one, just follow us at Instagram or Facebook at Ask Lisa Podcast. Tag a friend. Leave a comment. You can enter as many times as you want. For now, it's for folks in the U.S., but if you're abroad, because we know we have so many listeners who are coming to us from abroad, still, we'd love to hear from you and see if maybe we should open it up internationally as well. But sounds great. And what is your parenting to go this week?
Everyone is allowed do-overs. This is my parenting to go. So especially with 13-year-olds, things can get pretty hot. Kids can say things they regret. Parents can say things they regret. It is not always worth it to try to unpack and figure out what that was all about. It can sometimes be very helpful to all parties to say, okay, that went horribly. Can we just take it again? Can we just pretend that didn't happen and start again? You start or I'll start, but we're just going to let that pass go. That was not good. We're just going to have a do-over.
And you get a chance to do it again.
Do it again.
Love that. I will see you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks, Lisa. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Ask Lisa podcast so you get the episodes just as soon as they drop. And send us your questions to AskLisa at drlisademore.com. And now a word from our lawyers. The advice provided on this podcast does not constitute or serve as a substitute for professional psychological treatment, therapy, or other types of professional advice or intervention. If you have concerns about your child's well-being, consult a physician or mental health professional. If you're looking for additional resources, check out Lisa's website at drlisademore.com. We'll see you next week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.